I invite you to take your Bible this morning and open to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be looking at three verses from that chapter, verses 18, 19, and 20. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. The Apostle Paul there writes, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We have entered into another Thanksgiving week. And as Thanksgiving approaches, we are being told in the headlines, of course, that we should have a restricted Thanksgiving. Depending on who you listen to, we're being told not to meet with our family at all. Or if we do meet, to have less than 8 people in the meeting, to meet outside instead of inside, to keep our distance from one another, and so forth and so on. And I'm all for being careful, and I'm all for being healthy, and I understand all of that. Isn't it so, 2020, though, that as we approach Thanksgiving, the headlines are not telling us what we have to be thankful for. They're telling us what we have to be afraid of. But however you choose to spend this Thursday, I want you to know something. For the Christian, Thanksgiving should be unrestricted. We should never restrict our thanksgiving to God to one day of the year. We should never restrict our thanksgiving to God to one season of the year. We should never restrict our thanksgiving to God for only those times that things are going well and the way we want them to go. Our thanks to God should be unlimited, unrestricted. If you think about it, there are really 4 levels of life when it comes to gratitude. There are some people who are just flat out ungrateful. They complain and they murmur all the time. They can find the cloud in every blue sky. They can find the thorn on every rose bush. They can brighten a room just by walking out of it. Instead of being humbly grateful, they are grumbly hateful. That's the lowest level. And then there's a level just above that where people don't complain all the time, but neither do they ever give thanks. They just take the blessings of life for granted. They're like the hog eating acorns, and it never occurs to look up to see where the acorns are coming from. People live that way. And then there's a third level, and these are the people who give thanks, but only give thanks when things are going well. When the sailing is smooth, when I'm healthy and happy, when the job is good, when the family is right, then I give thanks, but when things turn sour, I turn sour. But then there's the fourth level and the highest level, and this is the level where people give thanks all the time for everything. And that's the level I want to reach. And that's the level I want you to reach. And I want to mention 5 principles from this text this morning that can help us get there. 5 truths about thanksgiving that should impact our lives as Christians for the good. 5 things, and I'll say them quickly. Number 1, thanksgiving is proper. Thanksgiving is proper. When someone helps us, it is proper to thank them. When someone goes out of their way to give to us, it is proper to thank them. And even a cursory reading of the Bible makes it clear that God helps us. God goes out of his way to give to us. James says in chapter 1 of his letter that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6 that God gives us all things richly to enjoy. If you have something good in your life, the ultimate source of that good gift is God. And if you trace it back far enough, you'll get to him. If you have something that you enjoy in this life, the ultimate source of that good thing that you enjoy is God himself. I've told you before about Alex Haley, a Tennessee resident and famous author. In his office, he kept a picture on the wall that was very interesting. It was a picture of a turtle sitting on top of a fence post. And invariably, people, when they came into Haley's office, would point to the picture and say, "Why do you have that on your wall?" And Alex Haley would always say, "Well, you can be sure if you see a turtle on top of a fence post, you know it had help getting there." And every time I come into this office, I want to be reminded that I had help getting where I am in life, and you did too. You didn't get the good things in your life because of your wit or wisdom. You didn't get them because of your good luck or your good looks. You got them because ultimately God chose, through his goodness, to give them to you. You know, when we are born, we already owe someone for 9 months of room and board. And from that point on, God and good people do things for us on a daily basis, and we never can repay that debt of gratitude that we owe, but we can give gratitude. We can be grateful every single day, and we should. Thanksgiving is proper. Number two, thanksgiving is perpetual. If you look at verse 20, always giving thanks. Always. Not giving thanks sometimes. Not giving thanks occasionally. Not giving thanks when times are good. Not giving thanks when I'm in the mood or when I think about it or when I have time. Always giving thanks. Bible says that God daily loads us with benefits. That's Psalm 68:19. Daily, God loads me with benefits. Should my thanksgiving to him not be daily? The Bible says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. If God's goodness towards me never ceases, my prayers of thanks to him should never cease. If God's blessings toward me, his mercy toward me, if those mercies are new every morning, then I ought to thank him every morning. A little boy in kindergarten wore thick glasses, eyeglasses, because of his terrible vision. Last day before Thanksgiving, the teacher was asking the students what they had to be thankful for. The little boy said, "I'm thankful for my glasses because they keep the boys from hitting me and the girls from kissing me." There's always something to be thankful for, isn't there? Paul says we ought to be thankful perpetually, all the time. Giving thanks always. Number three, thanksgiving is pervasive. That means that it should enter and include all areas of our lives. If you look at 20 again, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Not for some things, for everything. We should thank God for the simple things. For food and water and clothing and shelter. I don't know about you, but ever since the flood of 2010, when we went without water for several days, Man, almost every time now that I cut on that tap and water comes out, I say a little prayer of thanks. And we should. We should be thankful for the simple things that we can so easily take for granted. We should be thankful for the spiritual things. Folks, if all I had in this life was Jesus, if all I had was Jesus and his friendship to me and his salvation to me, then I would have enough to be thankful to God for all of eternity. But what I've got as a Christian is Jesus and so much more. Spiritual blessings, physical blessings, and I should be thankful. I should even be thankful for the sorrowful things, the sad things. Because I know that God can use them for good in my life. A preacher was presenting a sermon like this about how we always ought to be thankful, and somebody caught him in the back and said, you know, it's easy for you to say we ought to be thankful, but I don't have anything to be thankful about. I can't even pay my bills. The preacher said, well, then be thankful that you're not one of your creditors. There's always something. Matthew Henry, the famous Bible scholar who wrote commentaries on the entire Bible, one evening he was robbed at knife point. And he wrote in his journal that night, and he wrote, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that while the robber took my money, he did not take my life. I'm thankful that though he took my all wasn't much. And most of all, he wrote, I am thankful that it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. You see, there is always something to be thankful for. Even those things that seem sorrowful in our lives, God can work them for good. Thanksgiving is proper. It's perpetual, it's pervasive, and it's pleasurable. It's pleasurable. Look at verse 19 there in the text. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. You know who the people are in this world who have a song in their heart? People who are thankful. You know who the people are in this world who always have praise on their lips? People who are thankful. I used to think that people are thankful because they're happy. And over the years, my opinion on that matter has changed. I no longer believe that people are thankful because they're happy. I believe that they're happy because they're thankful. I believe gratitude comes first. And I believe that those who have a level of happiness and joy in this life have it because they're thankful people. And you say, well, I could be thankful if my circumstances were better. But let me remind you that Ephesians is one of those prison epistles. Paul wrote this letter from prison. But an attitude of gratitude turned his prison into a palace. And I want you to know it can do the same for you. And you can flip that coin and you can say that if you are ungrateful, you can turn a palace into a prison. Thanksgiving is pleasurable. Thanksgiving leads to joy in your life. Let me encourage you every evening before you go to bed and you're saying your prayers. Look back on the day that you have lived, that specific day. Think of three things that went well that particular day. And then trace those things back to the people who made them possible and trace them back ultimately to God himself, and then give thanks and praise for those three things. That one activity can have more of an impact on your life emotionally and spiritually than I know how to tell you. Three good things. Do it tonight, do it every night, and watch God go to work giving you joy in your life. Thanksgiving is pleasurable. And then finally, Thanksgiving is possible. Somebody says, all this sounds great, but in the midst of 2020 and in the midst of this pandemic and in the midst of this political mess and in the midst of this social mess, I just don't feel like being thankful. Let me say a couple of things that I think could help there. Number one, don't thank God by your feeling. Thank Him by your faith. You are not told in the Bible to feel thankful. You're told to be thankful. No matter how you feel, you just find the good in your life and you start thanking God for it. And probably what will happen is your feelings will catch up to your faith and you'll begin to feel thankful. Feeling thankful is wonderful, but what we're commanded to do is be thankful. So start. Don't wait for Thursday. Start today. Be thankful and then watch. You'll start feeling thankful in a little while. And I also want to emphasize too here before we close, the Spirit will help you be thankful. Did you notice verse 18 in this passage about thanksgiving to God? It says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. If you are filled with the Spirit, then the Spirit is going to have an impact, an effect on your life. And one of the things the Spirit will help you do is be more thankful. The best way I know how to illustrate this is when I was a little boy trying to learn how to play baseball. And at first, I couldn't hit the ball. And that big old bat, which was all we had in my family, would just about pull me over down to the ground if I tried to swing it. But I was trying to learn how to hit. And so my dad would come and he would stand behind me. And I'd put my little hands on the bat and he would put his big hands on the bat. Arms wrapped around me like this. And somebody would pitch the ball and I would swing and dad would swing and together we'd hit the ball. And you say, well, I want to be thankful. I understand that I need to be thankful. How can I do it? Let me tell you, your Father will help. Your Father will put His arms around you and you try to be grateful, and through the Spirit, He will help you, and you'll find this gratitude growing and growing in your life. The Spirit will help. So many people will have a restricted Thanksgiving in terms of what they do this Thursday, and that's fine. But for Christians, our Thanksgiving to God can be and should be and will be, if we take the teaching in this passage to heart, it will be unrestricted. Thanksgiving, as you know, in this nation is not just about gratitude. It's also about pardon. I'm sure you guys know of the Thanksgiving tradition where the President of the United States takes a turkey, brings the turkey to the White House, and gives the official presidential pardon to the turkey. The turkey will not be cooked and served for Thanksgiving. In fact, the turkey can go to a farm. I believe the farm's in Virginia. And that turkey will live the life of leisure until that turkey dies of natural causes and old age. And that will happen this week. A turkey will be pardoned. And let me just tell you that before I met Jesus, I was that turkey. I was headed for death. And Jesus pardoned me by His gift on the cross. what a wonderful time for you to become a baptized believer after you confess your faith and repent of your sins so that God can give pardon to you. If you've never done that, I want to invite you to. We're going to stand and sing a song to encourage you to. If you need to put him on in baptism, come right now as together we stand and as we sing.